Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
My name is Angelo Ochetta. I served in the United States Navy from 2009 to 2013. I was stationed in Lemoore, California, and during my time in Lemoore, California, I witnessed multiple sightings of UFOs. I will start with my sightings in chronological order. They were taking place from November 2011 through October 2012. My first sighting, November 15, 2011, at approximately 11:30 p.m., I was on my watch duty, walking back towards my post after walking around the listed buildings. I noticed an object in the sky too slow to be an F-18 Super Hornet, which I'm very familiar with these as I work on them due to my job. I then realized the shape wasn't as a jet, but it had a triangular look to it with lights glowing beneath it. The distance from my point of view to the sighting was at least 500 yards away, moving away from the airstrip, which was only a few miles down the road. To my knowledge, the shape of it, I'd say, was about 3,000 to 5,000 feet above, and the speed was incredible. The shape of it and the I don't know how to describe it. The color, almost as a metallic kind of dark gray, I would assume, from what it looked like to me. My second sighting, December 24th, 2011, at approximately 2100 hours. Walking back to my car from my barracks. Just about to get into my car, I look up to my right and it was the same flying object again, this time much closer than it was before. Moving at the same speed. This time, I was basically just mesmerized yet again by it. I got a clean look at it this time, with three lights underneath it, with one glowing orange in the middle of it. And then, like I said, a blinking of an eye, just gone again. Third sighting, February 3rd, 2012, 0200 a.m. On my watch duty again. This time, though, I'm with my shipmate. We were walking back towards Barrack D. He was the only one who actually witnessed this object with me at this time, and I was very happy that I had someone with me to witness it. We were smoking cigarettes, looking up, and he noticed it, and I explained to him right away. This is what I tried to describe to him, and we were both stunned, mesmerized by it again. I know he didn't like talk about it much after that, after what happened, but it's crazy because the way that it's described and just the speed of it. I mean, incredible speed. Okay, it's incredible speed. And I know there are other prototypes out there. You know, United States aircraft. You know, prototypes that probably have this, I guess, same shape as aircrafts. But just the speed is what gets me. My fourth sighting, June 11, 2012, at 23:30, basically 11:30 a.m. p.m. Driving on my base from work. It's a long 7 mile stretch road. As I'm driving ahead, I notice to my left, it was there again. But this time, what got me was that at this time, they're usually practice flight missions going on at this time, and the skies were empty, and it's just this one flying object yet again in the sky by itself. So it was crazy again to see at this time again, very far away from me, but I could tell it wasn't an F-18, you know, aircraft again. It was this triangular aircraft. And then the last sighting was on October 12, 2012, at approximately 1 a.m. This time I was on my duty again, wasn't too far away from my barracks, and this time it didn't take too long. I literally just noticed it, and in a blink of an eye, it was just gone again. But this aircraft around my naval base, I mean, with this many sightings, it was hard to believe that I'm the only one who always witnessed this, you know, and I didn't I tried mentioning to one of my superiors above, and I know he just brushed it off as like, oh yeah, were you drinking on duty or something like that? So I already knew that I didn't want to be labeled a crackpot or a psycho on the base just for opening my mouth about this stuff. I mean, you know, people believe what they want to believe, but, you know, these eyes saw what they saw, and I'm going to believe it through. And whoever has other theories about it, I listen to all of them with an open mind. And I appreciate you guys for listening to me, and thank you very much.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you for inviting me to be on Somewhere in the Skies. My name is Shelley Bienza, and I am an author, a self-publisher, a writer, I don't like the word psychic, but I do readings. I'm pretty much a little bit into everything, quite a bit of things under my belt. But more currently, I have begun about 2 or 3 years ago running a paranormal group in New York State. We cover all of New York State and try to help residential or commercial businesses or homeowners to understand what's going on in their home when they have ghostly activities or other activities that they don't understand. I really think that with our team, it's important for us to educate people on what we do and educate them on what's really just going on is often not what they really think, but through our investigations, we're able to generally calm people's nerves down. So that's a good thing to be able to help people. I had an experience in the beginning of January this year where my friend was looking out my living room window and something caught his eye. And when he looked out, he saw two red globes floating over the treetops. And he watched it, and these things, they hovered. He said it really was no higher than what looked like treetop level. And of course, I didn't see that myself. And he stepped out of the room, and I was wondering what that could be. I'm also a weather storm chaser on the side. So I was sitting in the living room myself and looking straight out of my window in the living room, because all of a sudden this huge, and I do mean huge, I can't even think of a word that's big enough to describe what I was seeing, was this huge red super bright thing. I don't know what to call it. It's like you see this brightness. It filled my entire living room window. It was completely bright red, like the brightest LED light or tail light you could imagine on a car. It was that bright, and it filled the entire view out my window. And it was like I saw it, and I knew it wasn't normal, but at the same time, I couldn't really register logically what I was seeing. It just really blew my mind, to be honest. And it was gone in a split second. It was that quick, but it was that huge. And being that it followed my friend seeing these red globes, I was like, oh my God, what did I just see? What was that? How could that happen? What are they looking for? Was it actually something that looking into my home? You just don't know. So I went online thinking maybe it was some kind of freaky weather anomaly. And I was going on our local news channel weather reports to see if anybody else had reported such a thing. And they did. This thing, or things, these two red globes, glowing red globes, were seen in different parts of New York State on the same night. And then I reached out to one of the ladies that commented on that thread on the weather page on Facebook, because she said that her 8-year-old son came to her and said, Mommy, what are those red balls in the sky? And of course she looked and she saw that they were hovering in the sky, not very high up, but there. And I don't know what she ended up telling her son, but I did reach out to her after the fact and emailed her privately and asked her a little bit more about it. And she said she just didn't know what to tell her child. But to me, if the child was 8 years old and there was a little boy, and somebody that young doesn't just make that up out of the blue. I think it was very legitimate. And it proved to be legitimate. Anyways, there were other people in nearby cities. I mean, like, I'm in Fulton County, and these were people from Albany County, New York, all on the same night. So I really knew something happened. And it really got my adrenaline going. It was crazy. I have no explanation for it at all. But it wasn't the first time I've seen something. I saw something when I was a kid that looked like white circular globes that were like rotating back and forth. My mother saw it, my sister saw it, and again, I always thought it was a weather thing, but there was never any weather anomalies going on. So it's just very strange, but it's also very exciting, and it definitely gets my adrenaline going. I don't even know how to wrap my head around it. I did publish a book called Paranormal Presence, which has some of the UFO stories in it, which is sold on Amazon under Shelley Brianza. I have some other books on there that talk about some other strange things. And the book, that particular book, Paranormal Presence, is 5 different authors in it with different experiences. So that was pretty cool. But UFOs definitely are something that I believe in. And I often wonder if the theory of calling them in telepathically is something that is real. Because I'm always looking up in the sky, wondering, just in case, I might see something. Because you never know. I don't feel like I'm telepathically calling anything in. However, I really believe that there is another entire, I don't know, universe or intelligence out there way beyond us, just probably checking us out. I mean, if it was the other way around and we knew that there was some kind of life force out there outside of Earth, I think we would want to take a look at it and check it out too. So it's pretty cool. I want to thank you for having me on your podcast, and I look forward to hearing more stories about something in the sky, or somewhere in the sky, as this is a worldwide phenomena going on. But being as it's documented so many times repeatedly, I really feel that there's something to this. If the government is admitting now that this is real, I think that's a pretty good indication that something really is in the skies. Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, Ryan, and all the listeners of Somewhere in the Skies. Fantastic podcast I have listened to myself for many years. My name's Andy McGrillan, and I'm also the host of That UFO Podcast, and pleased to say I'm a friend and colleague of Ryan's now as well. I want to share my own story with you. I've meaning to do with Ryan for some time. I've had 2 sightings. One, 2019, I saw a black triangle, which is probably the least interesting of the one, coming home along a dark road in Northumberland in the UK. It was a dark road, but it was really busy with traffic around 6 p.m. in the evening, so everyone coming home from work, and noticed 2 lights kind of low down in the sky, maybe a couple of 100 feet off the ground at most. It is quite near an airport, so I just thought it's just a plane coming in, but it was an odd path given the runways were further over. But noticed as I drove towards it, they hadn't moved. When you tend to, you know, as you get closer, they get closer or move, or you see them flashing and stuff like that, but it wasn't doing anything. And then I noticed that a white van had pulled over to the side of the road, and the gentleman driving the van was leaning out and looking up. And as I drove underneath the lights, at this point realising that they weren't seeming to be moving, you could clearly make out against the black winter sky a black triangular shape. The 2 lights, strangely, were just at the back of the object, and there was nothing on the front. And I can honestly say, going under it, I expected to see the outline of an aircraft or the other lights at the tail or the front, but there was nothing, just the 2 lights on the tip, and this thing was completely still. I managed to turn the car around, And as I did, looking in my rearview mirror, after a couple of seconds, the object moved over some trees diagonally. Just a really strange kind of movement. But, you know, again, you could just make out the shape of it. As I turned the car around and went back along the road, the clearing opens up to an expanse of fields where you would have a clear view of the sky. And given this thing was only a couple of hundred feet at most off the ground, you would have been able to see it. And I couldn't. It was gone. So if those lights had turned off, maybe you wouldn't have saw it against the dark sky, but the thing was that low down, I would have expected to. That was my second and probably least interesting. However, my first one, which I find far more interesting, would be the one that happened in the mid-90s, and I can't be too exact with details. It would have been winter, late October, November time in the mid-90s. I would have been about 9 or 10 years old, and there was five of us leaving what would be the Boys Brigade, which is a bit like the Scouts, but based here in the UK. And there was myself, my mum, my sister, a friend of mine, and his mum, all leaving the church where the BB, as it was called, the Boys Brigade, was on. Again, winter's night, really cold, dark. However, this object wasn't high up in the sky. As we walked along this road, you could see down to the right-hand side of the street, you know, half a mile at most, a very built-up suburban area, lots of houses, shops, lights, traffic. It was that kind of area, not fields, you know, really, really busy. This is in Glasgow, Scotland. And as I looked down the street, behind the tree line, you couldn't see the bottom of the object. It was that low. Imagine a Ferris wheel you would see at a carnival, like a big wheel, as we call them in the UK, or a Ferris wheel, but slightly tilted at an angle, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but spinning round ridiculously quick, like a washing machine cylinder. And I could just make out these lights. I can't say it was definitely disc-shaped, but just given the angle it was at and the fact it was spinning, it seemed that kind of circular disc type pattern. And we all saw it. We looked along, saw this object. No other cars had stopped, you know, nothing like that. We all remember seeing it. And after kind of standing for no more than a few seconds observing, we just walked home, away from its view, and that was it. Honestly, it was the most spectacular thing, clearly, I've ever seen. The people I witnessed it still remember it to this day. My own mum, my own mother, who knows I've got that UFO podcast and an interest in the UFO subject, has no interest in UFOs, aliens, any of that kind of stuff. However, if you ask her even to this day, she remembers it. She remembers it being strange, but has no idea what it was. That's it. She'll just say, you know, oh, well, it's not aliens, not UFO, not a UFO, which it clearly was a UFO, but you know what I mean, listening to this. So yeah, that really, as much as I had an interest in UFOs, mysteries, and the world over at that point already as a young kid, that kind of spurned me on with a lifelong passion and interest, similar to many of you listening to this podcast with Ryan, and similar to Ryan with the great work he does over the years through his podcast and TV work as well. So yeah, I'm glad I could finally share my story. Just sorry it's been so long. Thank you to Ryan for all the help he's given me over the last couple of years with that UFO podcast as well. And I just wish all of you a happy holidays, wherever you listen to this. Maybe it's in the future and, you know, it's no longer the holiday period, but when I recorded it, it was. So thanks very much, everyone. And thank you, Ryan. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Ryan. My name is Josh, and I would like to share an experience that I had. The experience was on Saturday, July 11th, 2020, here in Las Vegas. I'm a Vegas resident, and it happened on East Russell Road near the Sam Boyd Football Stadium. I was walking down Russell Road at about maybe 7:45, 8 o'clock p.m. And as I was walking, I just happened to look up, as I always do, searching for things. And as soon as I popped my head up, I noticed a cylinder in the sky. If I had to estimate, it would probably be at about maybe 5,000-6,000 feet. I could be wrong. But it was a cylinder with the front portion of it being black, and the second portion of it being gray, more of a gunmetal color. And it was flying straight up at a good clip, and then it stopped, made a right turn, and probably flew another, I would say maybe 200-300 feet, and it stopped again. And then it either disappeared or it shot off instantaneously, because it was gone. There was a cloud of smoke, and the object was gone. So, that just blew my mind. It lasted probably less than 5 seconds, and it left me with a feeling of disbelief, of extreme curiosity, and of wonder just to what it was. It didn't seem like a conventional craft. It didn't seem like a man-made craft, but it could be. It could be something else, too. So, that was the beginning, and I kept walking down Russell Road, and I got to the end, and by this time it was about 8:11, maybe quarter after 8 p.m., and it was still light out, and I noticed above the stadium this bright pink object that was shaped like a square, maybe a rectangle, but it was not aerodynamic, and it shot straight up in the air from behind the stadium to about maybe 1,000, 2,000 feet, and it started making enormous vertical circles and horizontal circles in the sky. It was going really fast. And I don't know how it was flying. It didn't have wings. It didn't, from my perspective, didn't have any means of propulsion. And it looked like a square, like a block of some sort. And it just kept making these circles. I watched it and recorded it for about maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then as I was recording it, I look off behind the stadium near what I believe is Sunrise Mountain, and I noticed a bunch of sirens and lights coming towards the stadium. So I wasn't sure what that was and what was going on, but I stopped recording and kind of made my way out of there. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, if it's something I should see or something I shouldn't have seen, so I didn't want to be any part of it, and I just ended up going home. Actually, I went to a friend's house. As far as the way it made me feel, again, it was just utter disbelief, checking my head to see if I really saw that. What I think it was, I honestly don't know. I don't know what either of the objects were. My best guess is something top secret man-made or something not of this world. Where do I stand today? I stand by my feelings. I still don't know what it was. And, you know, we could have come so far in our progress with aerospace technology that it could be something man-made, but it could certainly be something else as well. And it was just a really exciting day for me. I've had another sighting, a pretty cool one since then, which I would be happy to share again at another time. It was investigated by MUFON recently, and the results were pretty cool. It was on September 14th at 4:55 a.m., here in Las Vegas. This would be West Russell Road this time, as I was walking west to the gym to get an early morning workout, and I noticed a bright light in the sky that was situated roughly right above Nellis Air Force Base, and the thing that stood out to me was that it was not moving, or at least it did not appear to be moving. It certainly wasn't moving left or right, and it wasn't growing in size or shrinking, so I didn't think it was moving towards me or away from me. And I watched it for about 7 to 10 minutes, and it just sat there, pulsing. It appeared to be an orange sphere. I guess we could call it an orb. Very large. And it was just sitting there, hanging in the air, above the Air Force Base, for about 7 to 10 minutes. And I kept watching it. I recorded it. And at the end of the time frame, it went from a pulsing orb to two very small blinking lights in an instant. It just transformed. And then it started very slowly moving away to the west. And it just glided off over the horizon very slowly, and I watched it the entire time. But it remained stationary for about 7 to 10 minutes, and I couldn't hear a sound from it, although it was far away, so it could have been making a sound, but I didn't hear anything directly coming from it. And the interesting thing is, the very next 2 days, I had the exact same sighting of the exact same object, just in slightly different locations, with the exact same characteristics. What do I think it was? It could be something man-made. Perhaps some type of helicopter or hover jet that was able to silently remain stationary for an extended period of time. It could certainly be something else, too. And I sent this sighting in to MUFON in the video, and they recently had an investigator contact me, and he was able to use radar data, flight scheduling, flight data, and his conclusion was that it was an airplane and that it was flying towards me. That's why it did not appear to be moving. I'm not sure if I agree with that, because the size of the light did not change at all, but I don't have a very well extended knowledge of flight characteristics, so I could be wrong. But the cool thing was, even though it was a plane, the investigator told me that the only plane that was in the air at that time, at that location, going that direction, was a Janet flight going to Area 51 from McCarran. So even if it was an alien, it was still something cool, and I just wanted to share that. I wish you a good day. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
The Somewhere in the Skies podcast is free to listen to every week, but if you would like to help support the show, we have a very active Patreon page where you give what you think the show is worth. In return, you'll get early access to the main show, bonus episodes, and priority to ask our guests your listener questions. Your support truly makes the show continue and grow. So, to learn more and to join, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey Ryan, it's Kyle from Oregon. Just wanted to share the story. This happened to me in fourth grade. I'm 33 now, so this was quite some time ago. At the time, we lived out of town, so my mom would drive both me and my older brother up to school. And he was in the middle school, I was in elementary school. His classes generally started quite a bit earlier than mine, so we would drop him off at the middle school and take a short trip down the road to the elementary school, where me and my mom would kind of sit in the car. She'd read me, you know, the Animorph books, which were amazing, for about 30 to 40 minutes before, you know, school started. Well, on this particular day, I had realized that nobody was there and I could have literally the entire playground to myself. So I, you know, asked my mom, I was like, hey, I would like to have some time to play before school starts. And she said yes after some coaxing. And so I went into the playground, she left. And the way the school is set up is you go in through like a gate on the playground, and there's a big concrete pad with, you know, tether balls, four square, hopscotch, whatever. And the school is shaped like a U. So in the middle of this U is a giant, well, not a giant, but a decent sized grass courtyard. And the school is, you know, a single level building, but it had like a false peak that had skylights in it. So it was a little bit taller. And while I was playing for a bit, I don't know exactly how long, but I noticed this big rectangle object passing over the school, and I mean, it was right over it. Like, it was barely gonna clear the building. It was low enough that fourth grade me could have tossed a rock up and hit it. And I remember just being super transfixed on this thing. I had no idea what it was. I had no guesses in my little brain of what this could be. But I still remember the details on the back of it. I didn't see it from the side. At least not to my recollection. But I remember seeing the back, and this thing was pretty big. It was as big, if not just a little bit bigger than the school was. And I remember just staring at this thing until it cleared the building and I couldn't see it anymore. And being the little genius that I was, I thought, hey, I'm going to get on the swing set and swing and see if I can see where this thing went. So I got on the swing set and just started pumping my little legs as hard as I could to see if I could see where this thing went, where it was going, or even if it was still there. And I wasn't able to get another look at it, unfortunately, after it cleared the building and was out of sight. But everybody that I've told this story to, particularly my older brother, recently, actually, like a couple of months ago, I was telling him this story, because I remember telling him the day it happened, and he kind of dismissed it because he was a jerk. And I was telling him the story because he was asking me, like, why am I so interested in the subject? Like, and I told him, and he gave me the whole spiel of, you know, that was so long ago, you could be misremembering. And, you know, human memories are super fickle. Like, I'll give him that. But important big moments in your life, you tend to remember very vividly. And I remember this so incredibly vividly. Like, I'm never going to forget it. It's never going to dull. It is always going to be there crystal clear. But yeah, that's my story, man. I hope you like it. Have a good one. I appreciate your time.
Hello, greetings. My name is Daniel Rogan. I'm going to tell you about three UFOs I saw in 1999 in the daytime. I was with friends and family at the time. We were playing cards, just listening to the radio, having fun. When I noticed there was a bright flash of light in the living room. One of my friends, who's now passed away, went outside. I was carrying on playing cards, and came back and told me he could see a UFO. And I didn't believe him, but he looked at me again and said, "You could see a UFO," and he looks very serious. So I decided to go and see what he was talking about. And then when I walked out onto the balcony, which was a long balcony, it was houses above, built above shops. I went out onto the balcony and I looked into the sky, and I saw three objects circling each other. And I realised that they were not normal things I'd see flying through the sky. I realised that, yeah, there were UFOs. So I shouted, and it was like they heard me. They stopped suddenly, and then I started waving my arms and shouting. And they started from where they were, which is quite a distance, it's only a couple of miles away, started to come closer towards us. I'd got everybody, got all the rest of the friends and family out onto the balcony, and they could all see it, and they could all was, you know, baffled by what they were seeing. And as I got closer, obviously I could see details. One of the objects was like an orb. It seemed to be like whizzing round the, and I could see a diamond-shaped object. And when I say diamond, it was like, also like a diamond, like it had like crystal diamond effect. It was like a glass, reflective, yeah, crystal. Also like kind of metallic, perfect shape, four-sided diamond with a piece missing off the middle piece. It reflected the light. It was absolutely amazing. No sound. Anyway, the smaller object that was seemed to be whizzing round this diamond shaped object shot off such speed. It was like it hit the atmosphere and, caused like a comet effect through the air. Shot off, was left. I didn't see that. Didn't see that small object again. But what was left was two objects then, which was the diamond object and an object that was two black triangles with like a bar or piece that was attached to both triangles. And it was completely and utterly black, even in the sunlight. Didn't reflect no kind of light. It stayed in the same kind of position as it was moving through the air. Totally silent, completely black. I looked at it. I couldn't quite grasp the shape in my head. How thick it was, or the dimensions of it was baffling. Unlike the diamond, which was like a solid, four-sided, kind of, wasn't saucer shaped, but it was this four-sided diamond shape, and I got a couple of views of it as it got closer. And it ended up quite close to us, less than 100 feet, and they were both like moving through the air, coming closer, get a bit further away, coming closer again. And it was like, as I was like waving, I was going, I was waving and shouting and calling them over, and really excited and kind of scared as well. Like, realised, this is, it was fantastic what was going on. I didn't quite understand at the time. It was just happening. I just thought it would be a good idea to see if they would respond, and they did. And as they got closer, like the way they moved, they acted, it was like animated. It was like, the diamond was kind of reacting to me like, oh, there you are. Like, oh, I didn't see you there. Like, in its movements. It was like intelligent. I don't know if that was some kind of a telepathic communication. I'm not 100% sure on stuff like that, but that's the feeling I got off it. Like, the thoughts that were in my head. It was like the black thing was completely baffling, and the diamond was really animated. I think I thought, it left. The kind of went off, and I thought, oh, that must be it. They must be going, because I had read stories of UFO, encounters in the past, and how they acted and stuff. And it's usually you see something and then it's gone. So that's what I was kind of expecting all the time, that it'd be there for a bit and then it'd be gone. But this was like 20 minutes that this had been going on now, and then I think it kind of I think they kind of wandered off somewhere. So I went into the house. I think I was just trying to process it, and then one of my friends came, who's died, came running back into the house, panicking, telling me to, Dan, you've got to come back outside. And so I went outside, and they were back. And then there were some, local kids that had been playing below the balcony. They were on the street kind of thing, beyond the shops. And the diamond object was like less than 50 feet above the heads, like descending towards them. And they were jumping up and down underneath it, like, all excited, like happy, like they were playing. And there was a dog there that was barking up at it. And I panicked. And at the time, you know, I thought, oh, they're going to be abducted. You know, this was late noughties. I'd been watching X-Files. I'd read books on UFOs and all that time. I wanted to be a writer. I want to be a writer. So I was kind of into it. So that's why I think I can retain the memory, where others have kind of forgotten it. And I'm not a psychiatrist. But it's either something, telling us to forget about it, or our brain is telling us to forget about it. I'm not too sure about that either. Anyway, yeah, it just started to descend towards the children. So I panicked, thinking they were going to be abducted. But I'm not 100% sure on that either. It just felt like that to me at the time. But it was like I say, the dog was like a playful, I felt this playful, not menacing thing from it, really. The black thing, like I say, was just a silent, baffling object. I didn't really get anything much from that. Just the baffling shape of it and its movement, it kind of followed the diamond shaped object around. Anyway, so I shouted again. I shouted to them, like, no, it was me, like I'd called them over in the first place. So I just was panicking at the time. And then the diamond object stopped what he was doing, kind of thing. And then they both came really close to the balcony towards us. And like everybody kind of backed off away from me, who was there, my friends and family. And the diamond object, I can't remember at this point where the black triangle objects were. I can't, in my memory, I can't see them. But in my memory, the diamond then came over me, above me, and I could see underneath it, but it was all different to what I could see on the face. And it was like a dull kind of glassy silver metal colour with the underneath of it. I couldn't see through it, or it was not like a crystal effect on it. Still kind of a rainbowy hue. And it started to come down towards me then. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm all getting kidnapped now. But I kind of stood there and I was all calm. And then the friend who's now passed away slapped me on the shoulder and said, what are you doing? And I went, I don't know what I'm doing. And we looked up again and it started to rise back up. And then that's when they did leave. They both then drifted away then. I ran into the house and I looked through the front window, which was on the front of the house then. And I could see them like travelling off then into the distance. And then it was, everybody dealing with it, I suppose. I tried to phone Coventry Airport for some reason, I was pretty scared. I thought something was going to happen to us, because I thought somebody must know what was going on. It was like in the middle of the day, we're in a city. But where I could see from, it was where they were was quite secluded from the road. So, but I did, like so, I found a witness later on who was living local, who'd seen it, I think, flying over the house, one of the objects or both. The local children, I just tried to let people get on with their lives. Didn't want to keep... I had to bring it up, obviously, every now and again. But I just let the other people get on with their lives. Yeah, let them forget about it or do whatever they wanted. It was up to them. It was their decision. They wanted to remember being there, but we're not remembering details or completely forgetting. That was up to them. So, but I did there was a couple of lads that were there, the children, and I did bump into one about 10 years later, and I saw him. I thought, oh, let's do this. So I asked him. I said, did you remember seeing that UFO in 1999? And he kind of looked at me shocked, and he said to me, I thought that was a dream. And I said, no, mate, it really happened. I said it was amazing, and you know, I was kind of blown away myself by boy's answer. And I haven't seen any of those kids really since. I'm still in contact with, obviously, with some of my family that were there. You know, they remembered some details and they've forgotten others. And like I say, one has died, one has passed away. But yeah, they were amazing, and they were there for, like, it was nearly an hour, I think, in the end. And they were just silent, flying, hovering, zipping about, stopping. One, like I say, shot off at tremendous speed. They were amazing. They were absolutely mind-blowing. I'm not sure if I was into the phenomenon before this. So what? I had an kind of inkling of what was going on. But so yeah, that's how I've been able to kind of retain the memory completely. Other people, no, that was just normal people. Wasn't interested in really in UFOs, I suppose. So, you know, the brain, the mind heals or deals with things in different ways. And, you know, like I say, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not sure on that. It could be a device that they're using for people to forget. I'm not an expert on that. But it is interesting that, because you know, I felt like, you know, a calming feeling. You know, I thought that, you know, I heard these words, like when they got close to me, like, look within you. Well, I don't know if it's my imagination, but I could hear those words, and like say the way they moved, it was like they was giving me suggestions, like saying, like, oh, there you are, and we didn't realise you were there. You know, maybe that was like sarcasm, some kind of humour, I don't know. If that's just me, you know, making that up after the event. But that's what it felt like at the time. That's my memories of that time. So there were a few, you know, there were a few people there at the time. It was amazing sight. The way they moved, it was amazing. It was like they were defying gravity and moving with intelligence. You know, that came across strongly at the time. So yeah, thanks a lot, mate.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.